I think, like, you know, some players, I don't know if it's like more of an era to them that's special, or if it's a time where they got a win that was so significant. I mean, there's obvious ones, you know, Habib Conor, that was Habib's Mona Lisa right there. You know, John Jones, all the problems he has had getting finishes over people, like, you know, just like, he's only really lost one. It was Matt Hamill, is his name?
No, shoot, he's lost to USADA like 3 times.
He's lost just lost under the cage. Fight with him I watched was, it might have been right before he fought Woodley for the first time. Right around the time he fought Woodley the first time, I want to say. But you're, I mean, hell of a background, man. When people, you know, they get down on these fighters for whatever's going on in their career at the time where they're not on the highest of highs, I don't like that, because first of all, it's, you know, people are not like that. Think of that Paul Felder meme that's out there with him literally calling out a keyboard warrior, and he admitted to, like, yeah, I would die if I was in there with you. So I think that it has to be, veterans of the game have to be respected, and you have been fighting for a long damn time, and you didn't do a whole lot of losing when you started out. It's at all, not even today.
Kind of a recent habit of mine that I wish I wouldn't have picked up.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know what it's like, the adversity you go through in there. How does, you know, for you, what do you do that's worked? Because you have so much respect from people that I've heard interviewed about you. It's obvious that you're a nice guy, too, talking to you here. But you have that fire in you. What's it like to check all of that?
Are we recording now?
Yes, sir. We are good now. My recording.
I never got the little buzzer say we are. Oh, good.
Oh, did it? Oh. You know,
I like fighting more than most people do. Most people look at it more of a job, and they look at it as, this is, you know, I have to perform it.
Yeah.
I enjoy doing this. I mean, if I wasn't getting paid to do it, I'd still be doing it. It's about as much fun as you can have on 2 feet. And that I make a good living out of it, too, it just adds to it. I mean, I did not grow up watching boxing. I didn't grow up watching UFC or Bellator or any of that. I liked Jackie Chan and the Ninja Turtles. They were great. I swear to God, I thought that's what fighting was. I, you know, the Rocky movie kind of thing, where you can get hit 1,000 times and keep going. I thought that's what fighting was. It is not. You're good for like one hit and then the fight is over. And so as I've been doing it, I continue loving it. It is the best exercise I have. And it is so much fun going out there in the practice room or in the octagon. It's just, I enjoy doing it.
What's the, I mean, having friends who have done, you know, amateur up to the pro level, I've gotten to see them throughout their training camps, having lived with some of them, and getting to weigh-ins, and then just 24 hours before the fight. I think Cowboy Cerrone did a very good job of detailing how you have to just, you know, get yourself in there is one thing, but, you know, to put on a showing when you get out there and win, it's got to be some kind of rush that you can't really, I don't know if boxing, with all due respect to it, I just don't think you get the same kind of, you get satisfaction out of winning it, but something about just dominating another man, you know, that's gotta be.
It's different. I mean, boxing, that it count for boxing is, it changes the sport where you get hit. The fight could be over, in MMA, the fight would be over. They jump on you, choke you, do whatever, in boxing, you get that 8 count. And that Akon is, it can be a crutch, it can, and it also leads to a lot more brain damage than the UFC also gets. But it's just one of those things that changes, you know, that's the big difference between what we do and boxing.
And to watch from your position of, you've been around combat sports for a long time, and you're watching a new era of fighters being ushered in, of course, but also to see these people like the Tommy Fury Jake Paul fight, where influencers are, you know, kind of going back to like the average person wouldn't be able to get in there with a fighter and do something, but Jake Paul has created some buzz to where people think he can go in and at least have a shot with the Tommy Fury. I mean, what do you think if somebody's going to try and cross over to MMA again, or if they, what's something you recommend to someone trying to do that these days who has not seasoned themselves as much, or, you know, if somebody's just trying to jump in and learn martial arts for the first time, some keys to the fight game?
Yeah, so I don't think anyone's ever going to be able to just jump into MMA like that chump Jake Paul is with boxing. If you look at him, he's not even jumping into boxing. He's fighting MMA guys, retired, injured, losing streak MMA guys in boxing. I mean, he hasn't fought a non-retired athlete ever. And then he brags. So he's proven that you don't need to be good. You just need to tell everyone you are over and over and over again. And that's kind of what he's done. He's a shitty boxer. He doesn't punch that hard. He's terrible movement. Bad guessing. There's not much good about him, but he's been able to beat these retired MMA guys. Power to him. He's bringing more eyes to the sport. Fantastic. You couldn't do that in MMA unless you are a freak wrestler, unless you are an Olympic side kind of wrestler. One of those guys could come in and at least have a chance at beating a UFC fighter.
Oh, yeah, man. I think you've just nailed so many people's thoughts right there, because it's, I mean, like, I can't, you know, even back in 2017 when he was kind of like, you know, he's, I don't want to discredit Floyd, but like, you know, I figured he would never jump into the octagon with Connor, you know, especially somebody at that time. Connor was, you know, you could argue it was his prime. I don't know where his future is going to be, but, you know, do you think there's also the question of, do you think there's a cap on time limits that you do either boxing or MMA for age?
Well, we'll find out. The sport is still so young. If you look at, what's his name?
Sure.
The Brazilian, Austin, he's 43 years old, and he was winning. I mean, he won 24 minutes of that fight. You look at Dan Anderson. His last fight was at 45 for the world title at middleweight. Randy Couture, I think, was just such a young sport. John Jones, I know he's had some supplemental advantages in his career, but he's starting to age up, and he's still being pretty dominant. Romero, I think he's 40 or 41.
Oh, God, yeah.
In the world. So it's not proving the older guys that are tapping out early. DC was in his 40s when he last held the belt. It's been really cool seeing some of these older guys be able to compete with the younger bucks. Now, I do think that will eventually change as a lot of these older cats that were, you know, dominating, they've been fighting for a long time, but even they didn't have their first fight till later in life. You look at these kids now that are growing up in jiu-jitsu, growing up in wrestling with the goal of MMA being at the end. So the kids are starting to start younger, which might start capping the age limit of who's great and who's not.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see people like, you know, I remember seeing Masvidal fight for the first time when he was, you know, doing the backyard brawls. And then years later, when I got more into fighting, I was like, oh, okay, that's who that guy is, as a teenager watching him in the UFC, or, you know, young 20s. And it was interesting to watch him have this turnaround in his career, even though he hadn't really, like, he hadn't retired or anything. He hadn't, you know, had gone through a horrific injury where he couldn't come back. It was just, he had this career surgence late on, late bloomer. So, you know, watching someone like him do it and all these other guys, like, yeah, Yoel's another one that comes to mind. I think that you already have to have just so much all together mentally, physically to do it. But it's a pace, really, that you have to keep, it sounds like, with your life.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, you look, a lot of these older cats, before they were in fighting, they were Olympians. Yoel was judo, Anderson was wrestling, DC was wrestling, Cejudo's wrestling. I mean, wrestling's obviously the number one sport to be in. and on fighting, I mean, it's without any question. But then every now and then you'll get the freak like Nogano, who just hits real hard. And sometimes that's all it takes. And I don't know if anyone knows how old Nogano is. He's kind of like Sokaju. So Sokaju is either 35 or 52. We're not sure. And that just, if you're not, you have to be great at something and then good at everything else. And a lot of these older cats are really good at something. And they're good at everything else.
And all these divisions, I mean, they're just, middleweight is, you could argue, the most competitive it's ever been. And welterweight, I mean, they're certainly giving lightweight a run for their money for most, if I don't know what you'd say. I mean, I really think it's a three-way tie between middleweight, 170, and 155 these days, because, you could say the other night that 145 really right now was cemented as Alex's era, the win he got the other night. And the lower classes, I mean, they're pretty interesting. I shouldn't discredit them, but, for you, was there some, for which fight in your career was the toughest for you, and did how much of the weight had to, I mean, do you think it was the camp you went through for it, or the hardest fight you ever had from start to finish?
I don't know. The camps are hard, but I enjoy it. It's hard to say if one's harder than the camp where I've been injured. When I fought Talis, it is. I tore my, I'm week two, I tore my syndesmosis ligament in my leg. I could do nothing but swim for the camp.
What was his name?
What's that?
What'd you say that guy's name was?
Talis Latus?
Yes, okay.
Yeah. So I fought him. I had about 8 weeks on week two of my camp. I tore my leg up. I mean, I couldn't walk. All I could do was swim for the entire camp. But I was in the process of buying a house, so I had to fight. I didn't have a choice. So I went out there with one leg, and I lost the decision. It wasn't a great fight, but I couldn't move. And then right after that, I fought Rashad Evans, and that all kind of bled together. The injuries, it's not that camps are particularly hard or soft, but it's if you're injured early on in them or not is kind of the determining factor.
And for you, I think, some fighters, I don't know if it's like more of an era to them that's special or if it's a time where they got a win that was so significant. I mean, there's obvious ones, Habib Connor, that was Habib's Mona Lisa right there, John Jones, all the problems he has had getting finishes over people, he's only really lost one. It was Matt Hamill, is his name?
He's lost to USADA like three times.
He's lost the, just lost under the cage. That's, you talk about, I mean, what, that is the most frustrating fight. Anybody who talks about it being, Connor or someone like that, there's no one like Connor, but John Jones, man, it's funny because speaking of Connor, I discovered them both at the same time. I had this buddy of mine, Zach, who was telling me, you got to watch this Irish guy, and he was doing the first ever presser I watched him do was the 178 one. I think it was with DC and Jones, and when he was fighting Dustin, and they had that brawl, and Connor was there that day, and so was Dustin. They were just doing a photo op. It wasn't the weigh-in, but I was like, holy shit, this guy is just Like, Jones was a scary, he had a scary look in his eye that day, and it's just, man, he's been through so much to where it would have been easy along the way to say, hey, forget this guy, you know, cut him out. I honestly, at this point, look at it like Cormier was at a point where he was just not even, like, he cares about the fight, obviously, for his legacy, but was just like, you're throwing away a golden opportunity. That's where the quote, you know, you don't constantly make mistakes comes in. I don't know what John Jones is going to do next if I'm him. I mean, it's such a, that's a question, one of the big ones I've been asking myself this year. Your guess.
Yeah, no, he's going to try and fight Stipe. I think, as great as Stipe is, I think he's the only heavyweight in the division that John Jones can beat. And it's nice that it's Stipe, because if he beats Stipe, he could easily challenge for a title.
Oh, yeah.
He'd go from Stipe to a title, where he'll get knocked out immediately by Nogano. He'll get knocked out by any of the heavyweights except for, I think, Stipe. I think Stipe is too small. Jones gets hit when somebody has reach, and Stipe doesn't have reach. I think Stipe's arms are shorter than Jose Aldo's.
Wow.
He's very talented, one of the greatest that's ever been, but I think he'll have a hard time hitting Jones. Nogano will hit Jones at will. Rosenstruck will. Gane will. The Black Beast will. You look at Aspen will. They'll all hit you. Jones' biggest attribute is, outside of the PEDs and iPods, was that he has 84 inches of reach, and nobody can touch that. Those that were getting close, like the Dom Reyes and the Gustafsons, they touched him, and I argue both of them won.
Yeah, that I was just about to say, I think Dominic was, I mean, you could argue that fight went his way, most definitely. I think it's
almost unarguable. I had him 3-2. And it was the three he won, I thought, were much, much better than the two Jones won.
And he was tested against Santos. I mean, that was where I truly, I mean, the grit of that guy to finish the fight, if it's, you know, whatever it takes, you guys go through to get it done. But I don't know, Jones, it's going to be so interesting because, you know, this, I don't think it's going to happen, but the rumors also with him and Adesanya, you know, I don't think it's going through to fruition.
I don't think Adesanya will fight him. I think Jones would be willing to. I think Jones wins that fight.
Yeah.
But I hope he doesn't. I much prefer style better than Jones. I don't like Jones. I think he's ruined. I mean, he's done everything in his power to make our sport cheaper. I mean, just the sheer amount of, you take the PEDs out of it. There's the John Jones rule. There's the downed opponent rules. There's the eye pokes. There's the illegal elbows. The dude's a cheater from first fight to last fight. That is his legacy, is being a cheater. And there's so many people stand up and say, oh, he's the greatest. He's the GOAT. And you know, I get a lot of, oh, Sam, you're just jealous. You wish you'd be John. It's like, no, I don't. 10 years from now, I can look back at all my fights. I can tell my kids I've never cheated. I may not have won as many as John, but I've never cheated. I've been able to walk out of that ring my head held high. Jones, his entire legacy, his entire career is him cheating. Is him either doing PEDs, which he's been cleared for, which nobody else would have been cleared for. His eye pokes, he's just a cheater. It is what he does. And then the way he presents himself outside of the octagon isn't helping anything. 10 years from now, he will not be able to look back and brag about his career to his children. At least not if he's honest with them.
Hey guys, it's Steven. Just want to say thanks for listening and make sure to smash that subscribe button and check out our sponsors if you have a little bit of spare time. No more thinking, time to start drinking. Making the funniest drinking joke t-shirts today from Arizona to Virginia. And Hempful Farms, changing the game with CBD.
It's hard to argue with, you know, from the sidelines like I am, but watching him throughout his career to have so many opportunities go through his hands, I mean, because I've never heard of it happening anywhere else where they moved an event that fast, the one against Gustafson. It was just
Michael enough. Ridiculous.
Yeah,
it means he's going to stop taking his whatever a week sooner.
Dude, and that was just, yeah, watching the sport evolve. I mean, it was frustrating because you know, that card, I think, should have been remembered more, if it's remembered by some, for anything other than, I think it was Amanda Nunes' night, and I don't think it was really, you know, John Jones after that. That was kind of where he had lost me. I mean, really, back at the whole thing with the woman in the car accident, we only know what the media tells us, of course, and what John Jones said on Joe Rogan's podcast. That's as far as it's going to go. But, I mean, I really, when he had that whole thing happen during the pandemic at the beginning of it, when he got arrested, I mean, and the Savage Colby is texting, you know, oh, look, you know, John Jones is still getting arrested. The world is still normal. It's frustrating as hell, because it's like, John, you've been in this position since, like, 2015. I don't know, man. I mean, you have so many other people working as hard as Holloway, and with, I mean, I can name so many Tony Fergusons and all these guys. You, it's, that's, I'm glad to hear that somebody has said that he has caused setbacks in the game.
He's ruined people's careers. You look at DC, he went from, I mean, having the title to getting the head by a guy who popped for that fight for having over, you know, dick drugs or whatever he was taking. You know, that's what he said it was. He changed Daniel Cormier's career because of that. And you go down the list, he's changed, what's his name, the Lionheart, Anthony Smith. He, with that illegal knee, Smith has never quite been the same after that. I still think Smith should have stayed down. I think the ref should have stopped it. Smith agreed to fight, but Smith just got hit in the head with an illegal strike. He wasn't thinking clearly. But he's changed careers with his cheating for the worse. He, you know, everyone still thinks he's great and all that. But he's hurt the sport far more than he's helped it.
Man, and to have people like Snoop sitting there just, you know, like, for, get the hell out of here, dude. You're sitting here, like, going after these people, you know, like Conor after the Mayweather fight, and with, like, he knows anything about, like, I know anything about it, and I'm a bigger fight fan than Snoop is. I would bet my soul on it. So, it's just, man, I can't sit here and say that I can judge from having, you know, very, very minimal experience trading with people. I understand also that there's, it is, mentally, that was where I was so impressed with Cormier, how he came back and beat Stipe the first time, because he was just mentally exhausted, I think, of course, after fighting Jones a second time, but could have been wrecked for good, because it was like how much he had gone through to get both fights with him, and then, you know, I give it to Jones for his fight IQ, for exposing the, you know, with the head kick, knowing where to place it, but it's like the power behind it just was full throttle, and next thing I know, DC's out of there. And of course, it's remembered for the Joe Rogan interviewing him when they thought he shouldn't have, like, get out of here, you know. I'm so impressed with Daniel Cormier as not just a fighter but a man, and I hope that happens with Jones, of where he just needs to embrace the bad guy role.
Yeah. He's not charming enough. Like, you know, that, like, some people have that charm. Chael Sonnen's the perfect Chael. But
absolutely.
Jones isn't charming. He's not good on the mic. He's not a good bad guy. He's just a bad guy.
Yeah, he really, Jones should have bad guy ink. That, my God. I'm so happy for people like Chael Sonnen in this world, because that's, that was really where I got to know the Tough series. I started watching it because my friend, and like a lot of other people, we were into McGregor, and when he started, you know, and I didn't know anything about it, about the UFC, other than just watching fights occasionally, and then he beat Dustin and Jose, and I started watching more, and I'll admit that Conor, like, you know, he changed the sport for a lot of people, including me. I mean, I watched the UFC, but I think it was just an exciting time, because then I learned about people like Nate Diaz, and learned about, you know, Tony Ferguson, Dustin, all these guys and watching them on, you know, that, of course, I started clicking other clips after I watched Tough for the first time, and I put on the one with Chael, just the, obviously the, I can't let you get close. So, I mean, that is like, that is immortalized in the UFC, but have you ever gotten to meet Chael?
Yeah, I've trained him once or twice. I mean, super nice guy. I know he's a bad guy. He and his wife are just wonderful people.
Yes.
Very, very knowledgeable, very talented. I would love to get to hang out with him. I think he would be just a great guy to sit and have a drink with.
Undefeated, undisputed.
Undefeated, undisputed. I've never seen him lose. He's an incredible athlete.
Man, I just his show, I'm like that. I like today for the fact that we have so many other platforms that people can get on, because there's these people I like Kwame Brown with the NBA, you know, just shitting on that league when they deserve to be shit on for how they do things over there. And then, you know, with Chael, where it's not going to be a lot of ESPN, you know, like spoon fed, the networks, whatever you call it, agenda, just he's real as it gets, man. And it's, I didn't need him to have a show for me to think that, but I mean, you talk about people with mental warfare, that was taking it to a whole nother level. I mean, the way he just verbally assaulted Tito was Jesus Christ, man. And for you, I mean, who were guys that, you know, when you wanted to get into not just the UFC, but fighting, I mean, who you watched from the start of, you know, what was the first ever combat sports fight you remember watching?
Shoot, I couldn't even tell you. I was probably 6-1 as a pro before I learned there was a UFC. I never watched it. I think I met Rampage Jackson at some point early. I think. But I really don't know. The first real fight I remember, there's Tony Kryptonite Lopez. He never made it to the UFC, but he's one of the few guys in the world that have more fights than me. And he was the main event of my professional debut. And I remember round one, he just about died. I mean, like, survived somehow, and then won in round two. And we talked to him after the fight. This king of the cage, we talked to him after the fight. He said, "How did you survive?" He said, "Dude, I don't remember any of it." I said, "No, this is, I don't know what happened." And then I won. He said, he hit him so hard, fighting some just musclehead that just couldn't finish him. But by today's standards, the referees would have stopped it, but back then they were better referees. But they're the same referees with better rules. Stopped the fight, and he survived, and in round two, he won. So that's the first real thing I remember, real fight I remember watching.
Yeah, it's strange, because I think the first time I ever like really remember watching boxing, it was not a fight. It was, but it was known more for the guy who parachuted into Holyfield and I think Lennox Lewis it was. I don't know. I can't remember, but it was, yeah, I just remember that guy, and I read his story. I mean, insane what happened after all that, but that was there was the beginning of the sideshows being bigger than the actual fights, you know. Is that something that, you know, when you all is said and done for fighting for you, what are some, what are some things you think you would get into promoting elsewhere, you know, whether it's in, you know, Eagle FC, or if you, I don't know, if you, would you start your own thing?
I don't know. I haven't gotten that far. I like what I do. I think I've still got a long time left of fighting. Maybe the WWE will be where I'll hang my hat up next.
Yes.
We'll find out. That would be a dream come true.
And yeah, like speaking of WWE, because I think the first time you were supposed to be on here, because we had traded messages back and forth for a little while, but it was I think the week of Colby and George, and then the second time was supposed to be the week that they had their altercation in the street. And, I mean, is that something that in sports would people talk about? You know, obviously, Colby different off camera playing the character, the WWE being brought into it. Do you think there is a line, kind of changing the subject here, but, you know, with the trash talk?
Yeah, no. Talk whatever you want, but you're going to get punched in the face at the end. I mean, whether it's in the cage, you're going to be a jerk off like Colby is. And I like Colby. I've never met him, but I think he's the best welterweight up there outside of Usman. And I would have said he's better than Usman, except he's lost twice. But he runs his mouth and he got punched in the face. And now he deserved to get punched in the face. I hope Masvidal and Masvidal, I don't know if he's getting sued or whatever it is. Like, he's going to pay his fine, got his ticket, and he deserves the ticket too for doing it. But world would be a better place if jerks like that got punched in the face every now and then.
Man, it's so crazy because I remember watching Colby on the McGregor-Aldo card, and it was the last time I think he lost a fight before Usman when he lost to Worley Alves or something. I can't remember his last name. Alves. I think he's a Brazilian guy, I want to say. And it was a submission loss. But since then, I mean, yeah, Colby is definitely, I agree with the analysis of him and Usman, where it's, you know, going into the second fight, I thought that Colby was going to win. And I did think that was a takedown in the fight, the one they didn't
There's no way it wasn't a takedown. Did his butt hit the ground? It's a takedown by anyone's standards. That's a takedown.
And what do you think, I mean, about, you know, speaking of Usman, I've been curious to ask about, you know, these guys like, I mean, nobody like him, but Ali Abdulaziz, I don't want to butcher the name, you know, if we're about to talk about him, but, you know, with, like, the altercation that he had that time when Usman was pulling him back, I mean, is that not interesting to see where you have managers getting into it and stuff like that? I mean, because, like, you know, I remember when Colby beat George, he was saying something to his corner, and, like, the corner men were talking back, like, you know, you just had 25 minutes to do something and couldn't in this fight. That can happen in the moment because you're in the cage, but is it not interesting to see these guys who are, you know, Ali has some experience as a martial artist, but he is a manager now.
Hey, if you're going to be a jerk, you deserve to get punched in the mouth. If it happens, it happens, whether you're a manager or a fighter. I've heard nothing but, I don't know, it's probably 50-50 and good things about Ali and bad things about Ali. I've never met the guy, I have no idea. But if he's being a jerk, you should get punched in the mouth.
I mean, they'll talk smack about Eddie Irwin. I mean, Eddie is just, I've lived with British twins before, you know, I know how their wit goes and how their sense of humor is. I used to kind of be annoyed by Eddie when I first started to, well, he was kind of, you know, he's still getting into it with Tyson Fury, so I was just like, you know, okay, what does this guy know compared to Fury who's gotten in there? But the more I've learned about Eddie Hearn, the more I like him. But it is true, you know, if you talk shit, get hit.
Yeah.
And for you, I mean, right now, I know you've got some things that you're doing, you know, but you're still training. So is there, you know, what updates can you give at this time for what you're looking to do next?
Well, I fight August 6th.
You're going on the same night as, I think, that Jake Paul card. So that's...
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, whoever the replacement opponent is. So I will definitely be watching you over the... I'm not paying for Jake Paul's fight. Hell no.
Here's the secret. If you go to get a TikTok account, they stream everything on there. You can just find it on there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I won't pay for his fight, but I'll watch it.
Somebody had told me about that, I think, before he fought Askren, I want to say it is. Or maybe...
You can always stream on TikTok.
Yeah, and there's this thing called Stream East now where I actually get all my UFC fights because I just love the guy that, you know, when Dana White was, it's like, you're not going to crack down on people streaming these fights illegally. It's, you know, at the same time, with the UFC, I'm so happy to pay for it because I've had friends who have, you know, cornered people in UFC fights and, you know, pro fighters. I know what it's like trying to get the dollar, and I can't bring myself to pay for even him fighting Tommy Fury, it's like, meh, I'd rather pay for Tyson's fight. Jesus, man. And where is this this one going to be taking place on August 6th?
It'll be Apex.
It's at the Apex? Okay, so you fought there how many times?
I fought there a few times now. I want to fight in front of people so badly, but it is what it is. It's they opened up. The UFC never closed, so I get what I can get.
Was that kind of strange to watch people just fighting in it? I like the Joe Rogan talking about, it's as there's nobody in the crowd out there during COVID. That was just so strange to watch Justin and Tony fight during the pandemic when it first was heating up with no one there. And it's like arguably the two most violent guys at 155 and in the UFC. You could even say, Gaethje, I think for sure, is on that top 10 list.
Yeah, it's trippy. I'm glad they're opening up the pay-per-views, but I hope they open up for the smaller cards too.
Yeah, man. I'm definitely. That's crazy enough. Also, that's my sister's birthday, August 6th. But can't wait to be in your corner for that, man. I mean, you know what I mean. But I will be tuned in, and I definitely appreciate the time. I had somebody who was a columnist for ESPN, and then I had a football player on. But this is the first time I've actually gotten to have somebody, especially at your level, on the show, man. And gotta have you back.
Putting me on.
Oh man, absolutely. And I think that it'll be, you'll be in a different place, of course, after fight week. So let's do it again, brother.
All right, that sounds great, my man. Thank you again.